So Hare Krishna, good morning everyone. Hari Hari Bo. How are you all doing? Is the resting okay? You don't sound very convincing. It is like this. We had a full moon, and full moon, those at least who are, who can easily perceive the influence of the stars, they know this is not the best moon for sleeping. So it is good for everything else, but not sleeping. So let me just organize myself. Jai Radha Madhava Kunya Vihari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunya Vihari Gopi Jana Vallabha Kiri Varadhani Gopi Jana Vallabha Kiri Varadhani Yasoda Nandana Raja Janarandana Yasoda Nandana Raja Janarandana Amuna Sira Vanachari Amuna Sira Vanachari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunya Vihari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunya Vihari Hare Krishna Rama
Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare.
Oh, glories to the assembled devotees. Oh, glories to the assembled devotees. Oh, glories to Sri Guru and Sri Gauranga. Oh, glories to Srila Prabhupada. Yes. Go, Krishna. I need. Yes, there's a reason that you need to put it back. So, Hare Krishna. My dear devotees, feel a little bit distant from all of you because of all the things. Let us see with the space. I think you can't come closer at this moment, right? Because we have the text there. But when we don't need the text, I will request you to come forward. Some of you have expected Keshava Maharaj to be here this morning. He's scheduled for the afternoon because he has just come from, he's now on his flight from London to here. There was a delay of some flight problem. So we will continue with our little seminar on remembering Krishna today, this morning. I would like to say that this is something very foundational in Krishna consciousness, but I strongly believe that we have overlooked it. There are historical reasons for this, which I do not wish to discuss now. I think it is very important. Today you will hear a very revolutionary concept about Krishna that might change your perspective on the Lord. I wanted to say to remember Krishna is the core message of the Bhagavad Gita. You remember there are four verses altogether which are repeated, and two of these relate to Sanatana Dharma, what we do in relationship to Krishna. And our movement is meant for this. It's called Krishna consciousness and not just Dharma conscious. For instance, the main emphasis on Krishna. So can someone remember the verse which is the Paribhasita Sutra of the Gita, the key verse that opens the Gita and lets us understand its message. What was that verse, please? You know it 100%. Yes. Manmana bhavamat bhakton. In the purport to this verse, the great Vaishnav Acharya, Sripad Ramanujacharya, has unpacked what this means to think of Krishna, or how we can practically become immersed in thought of Krishna. He has said that we need to immerse ourselves in the seven oceans, the expansive means it expands, it's very wide and very deep ocean of Lord Krishna's compassion that we discussed yesterday, his good character, his beauty, and other such qualities. No? We gave one aspect of what it means to immerse yourself when you think it. Do you remember the example from Bengal? You put the rasgulla inside your an ocean, a liquid, an ocean of sugar syrup, and then it becomes sinfully sweet. No, it becomes very sweet. There is another example which I would like to give you. I've prepared this. It is when you bring a thought of Krishna into your mind. So you don't just immerse yourself in Krishna, but it practically means you bring a thought of Krishna into your mind. This can be compared with putting a tea bag into hot water. We will see at the end of the class what has happened. This is a special tea bag, a David Cooper tea bag. So I have just put a tea bag into a glass of water as an analogy. This is not about tea bags. As an analogy for putting a thought in our mind, what will happen? You will see a little later what happens. It will be different from what you think, what will happen. In the Gopal Tapani Upanishad, it is said what happens when you put a thought of Krishna in your mind. By remembering me, Krishna, the sadhaka who is impure becomes pure. Do you sometimes feel your heart is still impure? Of course. So by putting the thought of Krishna into your heart, the sadhaka becomes pure. By remembering me, he who follows no vows becomes a strict follower of vows. Do you sometimes have difficulties in your strictness? Of course you have. By remembering Krishna, you become a strict follower of vows. Third, by remembering me, he who is desireless develops desires to serve me. You can translate this in Sanskrit differently, and we will hear at another day another translation of this, but here it means when you have no desire really to serve Krishna, you are there in your life very busy with all the things that you require to somehow get through your day, no? When you remember Krishna, you desire all of a sudden, wow, I should do something to Krishna, for Krishna. You might go out and pick a flower and bring it to your altar, or you might do other services. And by remembering me, he who has never studied Vedic mantras becomes an expert knower of the Vedas. This is a quotation from Gopal Tapani Upanishad from the Uttara Khand 4. It's cited in the Srimad Bhagavatam in the 10th canto. The point here is by putting the thought of Krishna into your mind, thinking of Krishna consciously, you will become pure, you will become able to follow with determination your vows, you will be able actually to get all types of desires to serve Krishna. They will spring up, boom, like flowers who come from the seeds of last year early in spring and just jump out of the earth. This is what happens, and you also become a little knowledgeable. So thinking of Krishna or putting the thought of Krishna will color our mind in a different way than it was before. Our mind at the moment has raga for the material world. It's colored by material desires. as you bring Krishna, the thought of Krishna, into your mind, the mind, that means your whole inner climate, will change to, and will become something different. But the real surprise happens in the end of the lecture. This is not all. This is just, by the way, it's not about tea bags and water. It's about bringing Krishna into the mind. Please forgive me, but I know you. So today we will immerse our mind. We will go back to the first analogy of not putting a thought of Krishna in our mind, but putting our mind into a quality of Krishna. It's essentially the same. These are essentially the same. We will chant one. We will observe one quality of Krishna, Shushilya Jaladi. Kindly repeat after me. Shushilya Jaladi. Perfect. Krishna is an ocean of good character. Let us be clear in the beginning. Krishna's qualities are immeasurable. There may be a time when some scientists will count the atoms in the universe, says Lord Brahma, but it's not possible to ever count the qualities of Krishna. Still, we are hearing about some of the qualities to purify ourselves. Krishna has many qualities. Which refer to his good quality character. Vasi, he's self-controlled. Stira, steadfast. Danta, he's forbearing. Let us just remember Krishna as a brahmachari in the home of his spirit, in the ashram of his guru. How forbearing he was. He stood a whole night in the monsoon rain because he needed to get fresh firewood from the forest. And the rain came and was so heavy that he couldn't make his way home. But he stood there tolerating all this in the service of his spiritual master. And Krishna is Kshama Chila, forgiving. Do you know that Krishna forgave the offenses that Shishupal made for him in three lifetimes? Three lifetimes Shishupal insulted him. I like to hear say some of these qualities are reflected in the pure devotee of Krishna, you know, his because he's so much thinking of Krishna, his mind becomes filled and his character becomes filled. I want to recount to you, for you, a past time regarding Srila Prabhupada about how he is so forgiving. Gopal Krishna Maharaj told this. Hare Krishna Maharaji, very sad to he has left so suddenly. When he was just a new devotee and came to the Montreal temple, there was one Bengali gentleman, Mr. Mukherjee, who had invited, who helped him somehow, visa arrangement. So, this gentleman was friendly with Srila Prabhupada and he came to his lectures, and one day he accompanied Srila Prabhupada to a girls' school. In this girls' school, a Christian nun, was amongst other monks and nuns taking care of the education of the girls. And in the midst of the lecture, or at the end, I don't remember, Mr. Mukherjee jumps up and starts to everyone was shocked to insult Srila Prabhupada. He said things like, do you have no sensitivity? These people are Christians. Why do you bring your Hindu talk here? It is not appropriate. This was the mildest. He really insulted Srila Prabhupada in ways which I don't know and I don't want to know, but heavy. So Prabhupada went like this and did not respond. He said nothing. This was not Prabhupada's usual style. Yes, when he was personally offended, he did not say anything. But when he felt that Krishna consciousness or the spreading of Krishna consciousness was in any ways put down, he would become like fire. I have seen this a few times, to defend Krishna and Krishna consciousness. So this time, no response. Then Prabhupada stayed for weeks in Montreal. He also worked on his green card for America. And at the end, one day before he left and went back to America, he said to Gopal Krishna, Maharaj, please go to Mr. Mukherjee and tell him, if he is so kind upon me and comes, I want to say goodbye to him. I'm leaving. But Prabhupada, Mr. Mukherjee insulted you. He said so bad, with such bad words about you. Why do you wish to see him? No, please, you bring him. So Gopal Krishna, at that time Gopal Krishna, he had not yet taken sannyas, brought Mr. Mukherjee who came, and Prabhupada was so kind to Mr. Mukherjee. And the meeting was not overshadowed by this unpleasant memory of this offensive behavior. And Mr. Mukherjee was in best spirits, and he spoke in Bengali, Kemon Ochen, with Srila Prabhupada, and everything was very nice. And then Mr. Mukherjee left, and Gopal Krishna Maharaj asked Prabhupada, I'm surprised you could forgive him for doing this very bad thing and humiliating, what is the word, humiliating you in public. And Prabhupada said, Mr. Mukherjee, I did something wrong in my last life to Mr. Mukherjee. So now Mr. Mukherjee came back, and now it's equal. It's good now. It's fine. We are good now, I think we say in colloquial English. It's fine now. Prabhupada forgave. He had no qualms, no bad thoughts. He just forgave Mr. Mukherjee. And I think this is, for us as disciples and grand disciples, very endearing to hear. So Krishna also forgave Shishupal's three lifetimes of insults. This was just one thing. Now Krishna is also pure, and there are many such qualities. But today, my dear devotees, knowing well that we cannot remember so many things, I want to just focus on one quality, and I will use a little hammer and drive this a little bit deeper, this quality, truthfulness. Krishna is Satyavrata. He is very truthful, and we will chant together one verse which highlights this quality from the 10th canto. Please repeat After me, we will go a little bit fast. I'm no mobile telephone. Thank you. Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. I'm sorry. Satyavratam Satyaparam Trisatyam
Satyavratam Satyaparam Trisatyam
Satyasya Yonim Nitam Cha Satye
Satyasya Yonim Nitam Cha Satye
Satyasya Satyam Rita Satya Netram
Satyasya Satyam Rita
Satyatmakam tvam sharanam prapana
Satyatmakam tvam sharanam prapana
Satyavratam satyaparam trisatyam Satyavratam satyaparam trisatyam Satyasya yonim nitam cha satye
Satyasya yonim nitam cha satye
Satyasya satyam rita satya netram
Satyasya satyam rita satya netram
Satyatmakam tvam sharanam prapanna There's one word which sticks out in Sanskrit, although we may not know Sanskrit like myself, that we all can say a lot of satya, no? Satya. Satyavratam is the personality of Godhead who never deviates from his vow. That means he's very truthful. And then it goes, so many satyams are there. I go immediately to the translation. This is a prayer by the Devatas when Krishna was still in the womb of Devaki. They actually came and appeared in the prison, and a huge assembly of Devatas were there, and they prayed amongst other prayers, O Lord, you never deviate from your vow, which is always perfect, because whatever you decide is perfectly correct and cannot be stopped by anyone. Being present in the three phases of cosmic manifestation, do you remember what this might be? Yes. During all this time, you are the supreme truth. Indeed, unless one is completely truthful, this is now for us here, unless one is completely truthful, one cannot achieve your favor, which therefore cannot be achieved by hypocrites. You are the active principle, the real truth, in all the ingredients of creation. And therefore, you are known as Antaryami. Antaryami is the super soul, but here it is said the inner force. You are there driving us forward, giving us in, by giving us inspiration. No? You are equal to everyone, and your instructions apply for everyone, for all time. You're the beginning of all truth. Therefore, offering our obeisances, we surrender unto you. Kindly give us protection. Wonderful. So this truthfulness is described. A person whose word of honor is never broken. This is called truthful. This is Rupa Goswami's definition. My dear devotees, if you read the vast amount of shastras, you will find many, many, many many promises of Krishna. And the devotees find great happiness in these various promises of Krishna because it gives them confidence in their devotional life. They feel that Krishna has taken care. Krishna has given a promise. Queen Kunti addresses this confidence to Krishna at the end of the battle of Kurukshetra. Krishna in the beginning had said to Kunti, Kunti, just know, do not worry. She was worried that her children would be killed in that ferocious battle, because there was a lot of hatred there, and many Maharajis fought, you know. So Krishna said there always will be 5 Pandavas. When Queen Kunti heard this, she cried, because she knew one person would die. He's the 5th member of the Beatles, so to say. He's the unknown Pandava. Who knows his name? Kana. Yes. Kunti was equally the mother of 6 sons. But Kana was given up by her right after his birth, because she thought it's an illegal child, you know. It was a child she had before a marriage relationship. In that time, that was considered an illegal child. And, so the value system has changed. But then she understood 5 sons, 5 Pandavas would survive. And at the end of the battle, she acknowledged that. She said, even the sunshine may one day become cold, or the moonshine one day may become hot, but Krishna, your promise will never fail. The sun might disappoint us, or give us a shiver. The moon might behave extraordinary and we become hot in the moonshine. But Krishna, your promise will never be changed. Your promise is always true. There is one promise from all the other promises that Krishna gave that is very encouraging for devotees. It is there in the It is there in the Bhagavad Gita. It's Actually, I believe in the ninth chapter. If it's not, then please correct me. There, Krishna tells Arjuna, Arjuna, declare it boldly, you know, without any doubt. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says, take a drum and go, listen, good people, I have good news. That my devotee is never vanquished. He never comes to harm. You may say, wait a minute, we have seen devotees succumbing to illnesses like cancer. We have also seen devotees having accidents, both in the physical and in the mental sense. How can it be explained that the devotee is never vanquished? It's like this, my dear devotees. You are not the body. I don't know if you have heard this before, this philosophy. You are an eternal soul. That is what you are. The other things is not what you are. And your spiritual progress is always, always taken in account. Even if in one life, by some quirks of fate or karma, you should fall from the path even, you will continue steadily on the path, because Krishna's promise is there. He will never ever let you go. Yesterday we heard about Kemal and Zelma from Sarajevo, and we might hear another modern example how Krishna never lets go of a devotee. The devotee never vanquishes. If we have time, I will tell this modern example, which for some of you will get tears in your eyes, I can guarantee you. Krishna always is there, protects his devotees, because he has made this promise and he is truthful to this promise. After Indra came to Vrindavan, he was totally in false ego, because Krishna had taken the items which were meant for the Indra puja to do Govardhan puja with it. And then Indra lost it, and he just attacked the Brijbasis with the same amount of cosmic ammunition, you know, clouds, flashes, hailstorms, and so on. Cosmic ammunition. He attacked the Brijbasis to actually take their life. You know? But Krishna quickly went, and with his little pinky of the left hand, the pinky is the weakest of all the fingers, he effortlessly lifted the Govardhan hills as a mighty umbrella, and Indra could see. Later commented, he had a talk with God afterwards, with Krishna, and he said, by your lifting Govardhan hill and protecting the citizens of Vrindavan, you have kept your promise that your devotees are never to be vanquished. No, this is how Prabhupada writes in Krishna book about this episode. So Krishna is truthful. Krishna has Sushilya Jaladi, is an ocean of good character. But my dear devotees, Krishna is not an ordinary Jerry Goodman. That is someone who's good by mundane calculation. His goodness of character is very different. And as you hear now, some of this, you will hear a little Krishna Katha now, you will understand, my God, this is deep. But before jumping right into this deep ocean of this deep quality, I would like to chant one other verse with you. It's opening our minds a little bit. When Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went to Vrindavan for the very first time, there was a male parrot. He's referred to as Shuka. Please say Shuka. He heard this Shuka glorifying Krishna. And there was also a female parrot present. Her name was Sharika. And this Sharika praised, can you think of whom? Not Krishna, but then? Radha Rani, you know everything. So this is how the male parrot spoke about Krishna's character. He had many verses, but this is one of them. Sondayam lalanadidaya dalanam lila ramastambini. Yes? Can you see it? Oh, I thought. Gokulananda? Now we don't need light, we need a verse. Sorry, I can't. I see only black where you see white. I see the back. Please tell me when the verse appears. I can't see. Yes. So, once again, I think you can. You remember the tune. So, please sing with me. So dayam lalana lidaya dalanam lila rama sambini. We can all sing together. Viryam kandu kita trivaya mamala pare paradam guna shilam savajana nuranjana maho yasya yasmat prabhur vishvam vishvam janina kirti avatar Krishna Jagan Mohana. Just imagine a parrot singing in Sanskrit. That's Vrindavan, my dear devotees. The glorification of Lord Krishna, he sings. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is beneficial to everyone in the universe. He's a parrot, no? His beauty is victorious over the gopis of Vrindavan. So much more beautiful than even the most beautiful ladies, no? And it subdues their patience. His pastimes astound the goddess of fortune, and his bodily strength, listen, you who are men usually are a little interested in strengths, no? And his bodily strength turns Govardhan Hill into a small toy, like a ball. And now, this is why we have sung this. His spotless qualities are unlimited, and his behavior satisfies everyone. He's so spotless, means he's so pure, no? Pure means he's able to, first is he does not do anything that contains impurity. And the second is, he's able to purify all those who come in contact with him and make even an impure person pure, no? So his spotless qualities, they are so pure, are unlimited, and his behavior satisfies everyone. So this is now a statement to be seen in Tattva, no? In truth. Other perspectives are there also. Lord Krishna is attractive to everyone. Oh, may our Lord maintain the whole universe. So his spotless qualities are unlimited. He has such good qualities. To understand Krishna, however, sometimes devotees are wondering. Is he really protecting everyone? Is he really answering prayers? I feel unprotected and my prayers feel unanswered. Is he really so good? I want to ask you a question. Be careful, the young ones who always get up with their hand first. What do you consider the opposite of faith? I wouldn't ask if it's so clear. Huh? Yes?
Doubts.
Doubts. Yes. You are young. What is the opposite of faith? I want to challenge you a little. I will say conviction. Conviction or belief into something that is immature and not yet fully. You, by the way, you are absolutely right with your answer. We take just another perspective. Not that you get, oh, what? Don't plunder the truth with your concepts, what you can understand about him now. Krishna will always deny himself to be understood conceptually. He can be understood only in a devotionally pure heart. And there is one pastime which is very important, which tells you how Krishna's qualities are absolutely beyond the material qualities, including the material goodness. Once Krishna had spent the entire night with the gopis, most of these gopis were not married. Some, we understand, were married. They were led by the gopi Danya. So in the morning, the gopis, who are full of desire to be with Krishna eternally, ask Krishna, which Brahmana is worthy to accept charity? Their idea was, we always want to be with Krishna. Now, we need blessings to achieve this, so therefore let us go to a Brahmana who can bless us and let us give him some charity. So Krishna said with a smile, Durvasa, who is on the other side of the Yamuna, is worthy of your blessings and you should go to him and give charity. So the gopis said to Krishna, Krishna, we can't swim. We can't cross the Yamuna. The way they expressed it, we would be unable to cross even a shallow pool. What to speak a wide river filled with whirlpools and high waves? How can we cross the Yamuna? I have to smile because they are not willing to swim over the Yamuna. How sweet. So Krishna says, we can fix this problem. Just say before you enter the Yamuna that Krishna is a brahmachari. And the river will give way. Now, in our cultural context, this requires explanation. You must know words spoken by a truthful person that are truthful have power. When, for instance, you come to a Vaishnava who always speaks the truth, who is never getting lost in untruths, this person has a lot of power, and what he says it usually comes true. So the gopis said, we just spent a night with Krishna, and we certainly did not follow any brahmachari or brahmacharini vows. It was a romantic encounter with the Lord. So now he says an untruth. We should cross the Yamuna on the strength of the truthful words, Krishna is a brahmachari. But this is, we saw what he did. So they said to Krishna, oh, Krishna, you're very truthful. You know, when someone says like this, that means the opposite. No? So you're very untruthful, they say. While words of truth have power, what power is there in stating an untruth? Krishna said, you will see. So they came to the banks of the Yamuna. There were lotus flowers, they were floating, and it was very deep, they could see. And it was very blue, darkish blue, and very, a good breeze was there, it was very wide, and they were scared. So very shyly they said, Yamuna, listen to these words which Krishna has said. Krishna is a brahmachari. The Yamuna parted, and a beautiful pathway which was covered with jewels opened up, and they went, while left and right there were high walls of water, very high walls of water. And they went quickly, but somehow the words of Krishna had power. And they went to Dobhasha, and they had prepared sweet rice pudding with a lot of ghee. If you want to eat prasadam with a lot of ghee, go to Amsterdam. there is the devotees there are really cooking. When the halava, they cook halava, that you see, up to here is the halava, and up to here is the ghee. It's all soaked in ghee. It will, I think their ration is when someone eats a little bit, they won't be very hungry afterwards. So it's very economic in some ways. They must have calculated, they are very intelligent computer people, you know, programmers and all. So yes, so they cooked sweet rice pudding with ghee, and they went to Durvasa. The saint was sitting there in meditation. They waited respectfully. Then they said, oh Durvasa, we want to give some gift for you. We cooked this beautiful sweet rice pudding. Please eat it. Durvasa started to eat the whole thing and finished it. Then the gopis said, then they looked back, and Yamuna was, you know, normal. There was no, there was no pathway any longer. She was flowing broader. They had to cross the Yamuna to come to Vrindavan town, you know, the other. They said, Durvasa, we don't know how to cross the Yamuna. There is no boat available. Can you please help us? Yeah, it's very simple. You go to the Yamuna and you say a word of truth. Say, Durvasa Muni has nothing for his food, then Durva grass soaked in water, and you will see the river will make way. Mm-hmm. the most beautiful of the gopis, Gandharvi, spoke out. How can Krishna be called a brahmachari? And how can you be called a saint that fasts and only drinks a little kusha grass? She was polite. She didn't say, we just saw you eating a huge thing of a sweet rice pudding with ghee. Who could be Gandharvi? I know it's a little difficult. She's described as the foremost, the leader of all the gopis. Her name starts with R. I think by now you know Radharani. So Durvasa Muni thought he must explain this phenomena and explain a very deep subject of Krishna's qualities. He said, first of all, you are Krishna's Swarup Shakti, and your worship of Krishna is without material desires. It is incorrect to say that you are unfaithful wives or lusty girls because you spent the night with Krishna. You are the most exalted of all devotees, and your behavior of meeting Krishna is beyond any reproach. But then he said something about Krishna and his qualities. And I want you to please be so kind to chant it with me. It's so beautiful. Om, he said Om. That's how they start the saints. Hmm? Om, yo so jagrat svapna shushuptim atitya Tuyatito Gopala Om Tatsat Burbuvaha Svastasmai Vai Pranatmane Translation. Om. Gopal transcends the three states of consciousness. Do you know the three states of consciousness? Anyone? Wakefulness, dream, and deep sleep. This is what we are aware of. We are aware of things that we perceive in the wakeful state. Like I can see now, Radhika Ranjan, you have a beautiful luminescent shirt. It is with some fluorescent color, and there is the art of kirtan. Is in there? I can see. It's full of light. I don't know if you know this quality of the. I think it will light up the night. It's. I can see Ishwara Puri. He has a gray T-shirt and the BBT logo in there. I can see in the back Krishna Prema Rupa. You have your hand like this. It means you're speaking into something. I think so. This is what I'm aware. I'm aware of many things in the wakeful state, like all of us. But then there is what I'm aware of when I'm dreaming. In the dream, I dreamt tonight there was a wolf attacking Kintal, and I felt Shyamananda and myself, we were the only ones who knew of the wolf, and we didn't want to make anyone nervous. So I said to Syamananda, do you have contact to the Swiss army? And he said, yes. I said, get me a gun. And so I waited. There was an electric fence, and I knew wolves can jump over electric fences because they are very clever. They can learn how to avoid obstacles as good as human beings do. And I had the gun, and I said, come on, I'm conflicted. I'm a sannyasi, I should not kill, you know. And then I thought, well, I don't think I can shoot. Everyone has a little violent mood in that, but I cannot kill any creature. And I was conflicted, but then I became so afraid that the wolf would jump over the electric fence and it would get on my case, because I had heard, I know many things about wolves, so I have heard. And that was what I was aware in my dream. What I saw was my knowledge about wolves combining with all of you who I love very much, for whom I would give my life, you know, and this came together in a dream perception. I hope nothing will attack us, because sometimes dreams are foreboding something in the future. But I didn't feel that was the quality of this dream. They're truthful dreams, but I thought this was a crazy dream. So that is what I'm aware in the dream state. Many things happen in the dream world. Some are so embarrassing that we would not say it, even if someone would give us ₹1 million, you know, because it's too embarrassing what is going on. Then there are those things that happen in the Sushupti state. It's when the physical and mental experience is withdrawn. You don't see anything, nor do you think anything. Everything shuts down. It's not an enlightened state, it's a material state of consciousness. But you often, when you have this deep sleep, Sushupti, you come out of it and somehow you are blissful. Do you have this experience when you sleep real good? And someone asks you, how are you? Finally, I'm good, you would say. Because it is said, during that time, you are in contact with Paramatma. But since Sushupti is a material state of consciousness, you do not perceive Paramatma. You are always in contact with Paramatma. But you have a block of material consciousness over you, so you therefore don't perceive him there. You don't perceive Krishna even, who's everywhere. You cannot see him because there's a mountain of ego between you and all the other things which are building on the ego, no? So, yes. But then there is a fourth state. This is divine consciousness. In this fourth state, the Sanskrit word is turya. You make spiritual experiences. It can happen suddenly during kirtan, when you all of a sudden feel, wow, Krishna. And I think it has happened to you. No, sometimes? No, yes, middle. And then there is a state of consciousness, this turya tita, which is even beyond this fourth state. It's the rasa-filled Vrindavan pastimes and Vrindavan reality, where Krishna manifests as a transcendental cowherd boy. So Durvasa says, my dear gopis, listen, Om. Gopal transcends the three states of consciousness, wakefulness, dream, and deep leap. He's beyond all this. He is even beyond the fourth state of divine consciousness. He is a resident of Vrindavan. He lives the life of Prema. Om, this is the truth. Throughout the three verses, I offer repeated obeisances to him who's verily the soul of prana. My dear devotees, what this means is, for Krishna, Krishna works on a total different, is on a total different dimensions. What is truthful here is very, very much transcended by Krishna. Let me give you an example. When you are going on the street, you have to follow the traffic lights. When red is there, stop, because if you continue, you will come to harm, or if you are in a car, you will, what will you do? You will drive into other cars. However, someone who's high up and who goes with the airplane over this town doesn't have to follow the traffic lights. It's not relevant for an airplane. If it would stop, I mean, that's not no point of stopping, no? So in this way, Krishna operates in a total different world. And this is what he wanted to, this is what this pastimes wants to show. Yes, Krishna is a brahmachari. Yes, Durvasa Muni is a fasting saint. Yes, he is beyond the rules of this world. He is a member of another world. Still, because Krishna's quality of his first ocean is there. Do you remember the name of the first ocean? Karunya Jaladi. Krishna is an ocean of what? Compassion. Therefore, he comes into this world and he may move also very transcendentally in this world. He may, for instance, sometimes not answer to prayers. But he always is truthful to his vow to protect the devotees. Isn't that wonderful? In comparison, he will not be ambiguous there. But why didn't he answer my prayer when I wanted this, you might say? I will answer this question in the words of Mother Teresa. She says, more harm and more grief has come when prayers were answered than when prayers went unanswered. Can you understand this? Because we are immature when we are on a relatively low level of consciousness or trying to move up. We are still not there. Therefore Krishna sometimes will not answer our requests. He will have our past life in his mind, and he will be very nice. He will deal with us in exactly the way it is necessary to move us forward. So remember this quality. What was it? Shushilya Jaladi. Krishna is a sweet ocean of good qualities. Hare Krishna. What do you all think? How wonderful, someone says. I hear Let me think. I think some of you think Venice Beshahat. What do they serve today? Yes, it's also there. So let me see. Do you have any questions? We have a little tiny bit of time. I see a hand going up there. Yes. Prabhu, what is your good name?
Gopinath
Maharaj. London Gopinath. Hare Krishna. Yes, welcome.
I was just going to ask what happened to the tea.
It's very dark now because this should be more. I didn't have boiling hot water, then it would be really. But Gopinath, you know it's not about tea, so your question is very, very, you want the answer. Gopinath, when you train to think of Krishna, and you train this for a longer time, you are consistent with this, Gopinath, then your mind will become dyed means color, like color. It will take a Krishna color. You will always be in Krishna consciousness. You will see him everywhere and you will never be depressed again. Never. But it must be practiced, Gopinath. You must declare war on thoughtlessness. You must declare war on superficiality. You must, if you want this effect of Krishna coming with you, a change is required. And you might have to become a source of inspiration for others. The way to practice it is initially very simple. I intend to do in the afternoon when I get, I think I will have somewhere an afternoon session, and if that afternoon session is in far enough from the lunch, then I will intend to give you, lead you into a different state of consciousness and a meditative state. But that comes, that we will have also, hopefully. For now, I would, for instance, recommend you to speak to someone after the lecture what you remember of the lecture. In fact, I think that's the most productive thing. Let us quickly form a group of twos. I will guide you into an exercise. Yes, it's different than your custom, but please turn to a neighbor now. Everyone, please.
Wie rede?
Ja. So yes, wait a minute, it's not about talking, but it's nice that you feel inspired. What do you remember from the lecture? Only what you remember. How did we start? Oh my gosh, this is cruel of you. Anything. If you need help, and just remember one thing, then here is something, but what did it mean? What did it mean? It was not about tea, right? I'm sorry, I'm provoking, I know, but I have a reason why I do this. What do you remember from the lecture? Only what you remember from the lecture, nothing else. Don't talk about prasadam or anything, only lecture related. Now, my dear devotees, a little bit more difficult. What do you remember about Krishna in the lecture? Remember, the idea is to remember Krishna. So, not tea bags, not illustrations, not anything. Krishna. What do we remember about Krishna? This narrows now the possibilities, no? Please start now. For kindly participating in this exercise. You will find when you direct your mind to think of Krishna that it might resist. And why this is so, we will learn tomorrow from an example in the Bhagavatam that is a very telling, very, very informative. It's very difficult when we start this path of remembering Krishna willfully by bringing an image of him in our mind. We will find our mind, it's easier for us to remember a film or a car or a mobile telephone, a brand or so on, than Krishna. Even when we just have heard Krishna. And why this is so, and what a devotee needs to know who wants to think more of Krishna in his life, we will deal with tomorrow from a psychological and a lila perspective. This is something. I want to see if there's any other question. Our devotee. Yes, your good name, please.
Hare Krishna, Stephen.
Stephen, yes.
I wanted to ask, what is appropriate for us to pray for? Or what are some appropriate things that we could pray for? Since you were quoting Mother Teresa talking about how more suffering and grief can come from prayers being answered.
Yeah.
So how should we be praying?
Stephen, there are many, many prayers, but what came immediately to mind is when Prabhupada spoke about this in San Francisco, he spoke about how difficult it is to chant Vedic mantras perfectly, And he said, in fact, it's impossible in Kali Yuga. And then he said, also the chanting is very difficult for us. And then he said, therefore, two practices have to be done. Chanting and praying to Krishna. My dear Lord, I am trying, but I am failing. Please give me strength to chant. And I take it that this is a prayer we can take in other phases of our devotional life. I'm trying, but I'm failing. I think we all know this. We sometimes become moody. You will see some. It's possible that someone of us will become moody even during this summer camp. I don't like this any longer. I don't like this person snoring next to me. I can't tolerate this any longer. And I will ask Yamananda if he has connection to the... Oh no, not that. Let's not go there. talking of during me thoughts, you know. So my dear everyone, yes, I constantly pray to Krishna for strength, and I remember a pastime with Prabhupada, Leela. Leela was like this. We say Leela to this. Prabhupada was in Hamburg, and he turned to our Shivananda Babu and said, please pray for me. And Shivananda said, Prabhupada, I don't think it will work. And Prabhupada said, no, you pray, you are devotee of Krishna. I think what devotees always want is to pray to Krishna for strength. I remember just now another incident which I read in Giriraj Maharaj's writing. So once Prabhupada said, it was in Bhaktivedanta Mena, and at the end of the lecture he said, the difference, I can't do it, I can't say it like, the difference between you and me is I can never fall down, whereas you can fall down. I'm not pointing here towards me, I'm saying Prabhupada said, the difference between me and you is that I can never fall down, whereas you can. The lecture was finished. Everyone, the devotees started to rise, and Prabhupada went to the deities, and he stood there and he prayed for a long time. I've seen Prabhupada praying for a long time. He really took some time when he prayed. So later, I don't know if it was the same day or the next day, a devotee came to Prabhupada and said, Prabhupada, may I know what you were praying for? I saw you praying. And Prabhupada said, yes, I prayed to the Lord that I may never fall down. When you pray, my dear devotees, things can happen that cannot be done on your own strength. Therefore, devotees pray and are protected by Krishna. No? So this is a good prayer to pray for strength. This is a very good prayer. I think if you will do this, Stephen, regularly, you will soon. You will go, Steve, what happened with Stephen? Stephen is now very exalted consciousness. Yes, and then you must avoid the mistake. It's not due to your own strength that you have attained that. It is due to the strength of Lord Krishna, who has given you, because he always protects his devotees. He takes care of his devotees that they don't have any, you know, he protects them. Always, always, always. In his own ways. Good. Anyone else is there? Yes, I see one Mataji in the back. Yes, you. You. Yes, we have a microphone for you.
Hi Krishna, thank you very much for your lecture. I wanted to ask about so Krishna said to the gopis, just say that Krishna is the Brahmachari and then the waters are and then Durvasa Muni said that he's fasting and and then we said that these statements can be made because Krishna is above the rules of this material world. Does this apply also to Durvasa Muni and also to the spiritual master? Is he also sometimes, because sometimes, I was once told this, that sometimes a spiritual master might say something that maybe to us, we may think, well, it's not true. But actually, it's like a test or something. So I just want to see what comment you would give, or what, how would you explain that?
Yeah. Yeah. No one is God, obviously, you know. So the devotees of the Lord who operate in this world are truthful. And Krishna, when he comes out of his compassion in this world, you know, he keeps his word, like Queen Kunti observed. But Krishna might, you know, Krishna is inconceivable, and therefore his protection may look to us who cannot understand Krishna in one way, but it's another way. Not that is the idea I wanted to say. Now, what is about Durvasa Muni? There are many, 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 many things about Durvasa Muni. He is one of these personalities who is very difficult to understand. It is said there are few tattvas which you cannot understand. And it's Shiva Tattva, and he is a partial incarnation of Lord Shiva, so very inconceivable. There is Guru Tattva that you cannot understand. It's these two, and of course Krishna Tattva. I now have started to take Brahmi, that's Ayurvedic medicine against forgetfulness, but at the moment it does not work. So it's something else, yes, but I have seen this in my relationship to Srila Prabhupada, that often I could not understand him. Bhujan Prabhu likes to quote one thing which he saw in Melbourne. Prabhupada gave a lecture about birds, listen to this, who fly from planet to planet, and they give birth, or they hatch their eggs, they drop their eggs in mid-flight, and then by the friction of the air, the birds come out of the eggs. So there was one new devotee, who said, Prabhupada, at the end of the lecture, did I hear this correctly, that there are birds who fly from planet to planet? Where's the atmosphere, please? There's no atmosphere for flying. And then with the eggs that they fall, and then... And Prabhupada must have gotten many such questions. You know, he sometimes got questions in the early days with more than 40 questions, you know, where devotees try to understand those things which are beyond the human experience with the, you know, humans are only ants. We are very small in our capacity. If you put even a yogi next to a human being, normal human being or mystic, they see totally different things which are there, but not the end like normal person can see. So Prabhupada was a little impatient. He said, "What do you know? You are still in the womb of your mother." Means a baby can't see much when he is covered with a womb, you know. So therefore, yes, the spiritual master acts in an inconceivable way. I must make a little footnote on this. It somehow occurs to me that there are spiritual masters on different levels, and everyone should know where he is and not imitate the great souls. Like I cannot, I have to act as understandable as possible because I'm a very small person. So, yes, these acharyas, these great souls, don't make the mistake to judge them. This was very dangerous for many of Prabhupada's disciples in Prabhupada's time. In fact, there was once a group of Prabhupada disciples who said, we can't not talk about this any longer. Prabhupada makes mistakes. He quotes the wrong verse sometimes in the lecture. Here, this verse is here, and he says it's there. He has written it, and. So they chose one of them as a spokesperson. You must know, these devotees were not evil-minded. They were not fault-finders. They were not mean. They just couldn't live, couldn't understand the statement that pure devotee doesn't make mistakes. He's beyond the four faults of the conditioned souls, you know. So they chose Jayadvaita Maharaj as their spokesperson and said, Prabhupada, I'm speaking for many devotees. We want to know what to answer to devotees. It seems to us that you are not always perfect because you wear spectacles. You cannot see without spectacles. He started very careful the subject, no? Prabhupada, of course, understood what was the unspoken words, or the not yet spoken words. And he said, spiritual master is always perfect about Krishna. That is what he knows. That is also the real knowledge and real education. At another time he said, knowledge doesn't mean to know how many windows are in a New York skyscraper, because that is an temporary manifestation. It's an illusory manifestation. So the guru don't expect his statements, which he will make about things of this world, to conform with the vision which we people, who are people of this world, have. It is different. There is a different intelligence working, a different vision working, and he will always be right when he talks about Krishna. There's even check systems in our tradition. Guru, sadhu, and shastra, they always are in harmony. So that if you have some doubt, you can look in the shastras and see, and so on. Good. Someone told me I should tell the story how Krishna's good quality is, his character is to never ever break his promise that his devotee will vanquish, and I should tell the modern story. My dear devotees, I decided to leave the modern story for the other thing, because it's so plakativ, we say in German language, so outstanding, that you will only be able to talk about this story. And I first want to go into the oceans of Krishna's qualities. The next lecture we will end here will be about coming attractions. Beep, 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 beep. will be one moment. I don't know myself at this moment. But for this, you have a notebook. It is Krishna's beauty. We will hear about beauty, what beauty means. Afterwards, I think we will all understand we are not really so beautiful. There are three characteristics of beauty given in Vedic scriptures. It's amazing. So, see you next. Hare Krishna.